Hello, my name is Bob Barker, one of the managing partners of Barker Gilmore, and thank you for joining to today's GC Advantage webinar, which is our professional development program for legal and compliance leaders. Today's topic is giving and receiving difficult feedback, extremely valuable skill for anyone in management or those who are reporting to a manager, which pretty much covers all of us. We have some upcoming webinars. The next month's is enhancing your emotional intelligence and communication skills in the new normal work environment. And after that, in December, we have creating an effective onboarding plan for senior legal leaders. Today's presentation and slides will be, the presentation will be recorded, and the recording as well as the slides will be available in our on-demand library in about 3 weeks. And everyone who registered today will receive an email once those materials are available. If you go to the Q&A slide, during the webinar, if you do have any questions, please submit them. There's a Q&A icon at the bottom of the Zoom application, and you will be able to see the questions others have submitted. So if the question you have is similar or the same, or you really like the question, if you put just click on the thumbs up icon, and that will push that question to the top of the list so that the speakers will be able to know it's popular and to be able to address that quicker. And we'll do our best to answer all questions during the course of today's webinar. Today we have two distinguished speakers. We have Marla Persky, who's a senior advisor at Barker Gilmore and with an illustrious career, and Laura Stevens, who's the EVP and general counsel of Cengage Group. I'll turn it over to you, Marla, and then I'll come back at the end of today's session.
Great. Thanks, Bob. Welcome, everybody. Thanks for joining us. My name is Marla Persky. I am a very happily retired former general counsel. I've been retired for about a decade. Prior to leaving the practice of law, I was general counsel of two of the largest pharmaceutical companies in the world, one public, Baxter International, one private, Boehringer Ingelheim. And during the course of my career, I spent most of my time in drug devices and biologics. When it became clear to me that I was sick and tired of being a general counsel and didn't want to practice law anymore, I started to think about what I wanted to do next. And to do that, I followed what I call the happiness factor. Why would I be driving home? Those were in the days when you actually went to an office. Remember those days? When I'd be driving home with a smile on my face rather than a scowl. And the smile was because I liked business, and because I really liked helping people get ahead in their career. And so my act two has become in part a business of helping people get ahead in their career, hence my affiliation with Barker Gilmore. And one of the people who I've been very lucky to get to know is Laura Stevens, and could think of nobody better than Laura to join me in today's webinar. Laura, introduce yourself, please.
Thank you, Marla. I'm thrilled to be here. Feedback of all kinds is one of my favorite topics, and I'm really looking forward to our interesting conversation. But I am Laura Stevens. I am the general counsel of the Cengage Group, which is an educational technology and publishing company. I'm in a slightly different position in my career than Marla, in that I am happily employed as a general counsel at this point. I have been in my role just about almost 4.5 years. Time flies. And this is my first general counsel position that I've held. So I think, Marla, I'm going to, you know, let the group know a little bit about how we know each other and how our relationship developed for the past few years. So coming into a GC role is full of surprises for anyone who has done that or is looking forward to that. And I was a couple years into my role when I thought it might actually be helpful to seek out a coach, you know, to help me really get my footing and just get really good at being a general counsel, really comfortable, really effective, and have a sounding board. And that sounding board mentor and guider has been Marla for about the past 2 years. So I think the benefit to the folks who have tuned in for this webinar is that hopefully this is really conversational and, you know, interactive with the group. And we have lots of, you know, so sort of shared conversations and experiences to draw from.
All right. So, and as with any coaching relationship, a coach can learn as much from the person they're coaching as the coachee gets from their coach. And that's what I've learned through Laura, because she accepts feedback pretty much the way we're going to be urging you to think about accepting as well as giving feedback, because we've all heard that feedback's a gift. So we can go to the first quick little slide that all people need feedback. And even Bill Gates believes he needs feedback, maybe not from Melinda anymore, but definitely he needs feedback too. You know, we've all heard that feedback is a gift, and some of us would prefer to re-gift the feedback gift, but it really is an essential tool, maybe the most essential tool a manager has for developing their people. Similarly, as we all learn, the farther up you go on the food chain in an organization, the less feedback you actually get. So you need to seek it. Going to the next slide, why feedback? Laura, why is feedback important to you?
So let's just start with the basic premise. Giving difficult feedback is very hard, especially if you're not practiced in it. It is easy, especially as you sort of ascend into more leadership positions, to avoid those conversations, to kind of distance yourself from those conversations and sort of allow things to sort of kind of just sort of pass. And I had really fallen into kind of that trap of sort of hoping, you know, that things would sort of approve on their own, or maybe giving subtle hints without
being magical thinking that things will get better on their own.
Marla, I was really good at it. And I think, you know, it is just difficult, right? And I think this concept, which is so very true, that like telling yourself that, well, something just must be so obvious, they can't have think that went well, or, you know, they saw what I saw, their impression was what, you know, sort of my impression was, it's just not true, right? You know, without that level of communication, folks walk away with a very different experience about how something went, you know, sort of how their approach was received. They read the room differently, or the, you know, whatever it is that they've provided to you, whether it's a, you know, sort of written material or whatnot, you know, sort of very differently than you do. And so without closing that loop, folks just walk away with very different experiences. And it has such an impact on how their behavior and performance continues. And so, you know, it is hard. I just think acknowledging that starting giving difficult feedback, it's difficult, especially starting out.
So let's go to the next slide, because good or bad feedback is, there's an art to giving it. And you need to consider, I believe, what good feedback looks like. Good feedback, in my view, is something that is really actionable, timely, and specific. And you need to think about, why are you giving the feedback? There's a difference between a year-end review and feedback during the course of a year on what somebody's doing really well or where they could improve. And most of us shy away from looking at somebody and saying, you know, that didn't go so well. So how, Laura, is it that you have learned to approach people who need feedback? Let's talk about it from performance improvement, as opposed to that slide deck wasn't as on point as it should be.
Yeah, I think there's a couple things that are really helpful. Sometimes I think going into feedback sessions as the person who's preparing to provide it, you know, we have so many assumptions and we're not as explicit as we should be around some things that just seem obvious, right? So preparing to give the difficult feedback, I think, is a critical step and is incumbent upon the person who's providing the feedback. First is, you know, you're thinking of the feedback in a context. You know, does the person you're providing the feedback to have the context? Do they understand sort of your view of the audience that they were talking to, the meeting that they showed up in? You know, are we clear on sort of what the context for that feedback is? I then sort of really go to making sure I'm clear that I understood my expectations and I can articulate them. What were my expectations of that, you know, employee coming into that situation or that employee preparing a deliverable for me? Am I completely clear on what I expected and can I articulate it? Because if I can't do that, the feedback is not going to be helpful. It will just be more confusing. I think the other thing that is helpful is considering the feedback of the implications, you know, the implications of the feedback you're giving. Is it possible that, you know, this may actually suggest some resource allocation or investment in the employee you're talking to so that, you know, the feedback and the corrective measures you hope they take, you know, are actually supported? You know, I prepare to think about how that employee might respond and what they might ask for or point at and think that through a little bit. And so the preparation is almost like a mental run through path about how it might go. And I have found makes the conversations more productive and less of just me reading through bullet points I put together, because especially at the outset, you know, it's a little, I used to get nervous, you know, giving some difficult feedback. So thinking it through sort of helps make it, brings down the temperature, I think, of the tone of the conversation.
All right. So feedback is wrapped up in emotion, and it's the emotion of the person giving the feedback as well as the person getting the feedback. I think you hit on a couple of points, Laura, that are really important that I simply want to highlight. One is, if you're giving feedback, you need to prepare for it. Figure out what your message really is going to be and what is the right time and place for it. So if Laura and I are in a meeting and I am my behavior in the meeting is not what she would want it to be for me to be as effective as possible, and we take a break and we go out to get a cup of coffee, Laura doesn't have a lot of time to prepare, but she could take me aside right then and there, because there's still time for me to fix things and say, you know, Marla, I don't think you're really listening to the audience. I was watching what George was doing, and I think you've lost him. You may want to find a way to re-engage him. That's giving me feedback on the spot that Laura, of course, did not have a chance to prepare for. On the other hand, if it is career development feedback. Like I consistently am missing deadlines, and I am not as responsive to my clients as I have to be. Laura's got to prepare for that. She's not going to wait for the end of the year because feedback needs to be timely, but she can prepare for it and make sure, this is another point that you raised that I thought was critical, that there is an alignment of expectations. Maybe I think that getting back to somebody within a week makes sense, where Laura thinks everybody should be responded to within 24 hours. First step in the feedback is making sure that there's an essential understanding of what those expectations are. And I have found the single most effective tool in giving difficult feedback is doing it in a way that, how can we partner to help you take this feedback and get better on it? Let's go to the next slide too at the same time.
Yeah, I think what you just said about partnering, one of the things that I find to be effective is to have some specific examples and then sort of talk about how you might have done those differently in that sort of partnership model that you're talking about. Like, this sort of went this way. Would, you know, thinking about maybe a pre-conversation would have helped. Maybe sort of a dry run through would have helped with something, or whatever the thing is. The specific examples actually really do help to contextualize how that partnership sort of approach would actually show up.
And I think the partnering idea, that the person isn't in it alone. Yeah, this is feedback that you may not be prepared to hear right this moment, but I'm not just going to dump the feedback and walk away and go, well, thank God that's over. I'm going to work with you. So I want you to focus on X. How do you think it went, you know, at the presentation? This is your first presentation to the board of directors. How do you think it went? Solicit from the person how they think it went, and where you agree with them, obviously you reinforce that, and where you disagree with them or where they have missed something, that's where the partnering comes in with, well, you know, you didn't really give a lot of time for questions, or remember, I stressed ahead of time that you really need to be very high level and not go deep in all the ins and the outs of the legal rubric involved here. I think you went too deep. Let's role play a little bit. Let's talk about how you can get the key point across, where I'm going to be the board member. And so what you're doing is you're working with them to help them see real time what they can do and how they can be doing it differently.
So I have to say here, just going back to,
and we can take the slides down,
our long-term partnership, Marlette, that actually has been one of the most valuable tools that I learned working with you, which is to, rather than launch into my perspective and go right in with what I think, you know, which is my, for better or worse, you know, natural inclination, first question should be, how do you think that went? And it's actually a great way for that employee to sort of walk you through, and you really, it helps guide what can be sort of an emotionally charged conversation, using the feedback that they've already given you. And I have at least found that, you know, so many times the employee's quite aware of what went well and what didn't go great, which softens the whole conversation. I think it's been an incredibly simple yet really effective tool.
So one of the questions that has popped up is, when is feedback abuse and how to deal with it when you, as the recipient of feedback, are feeling abused? I'd like to approach it where the most effective feedback allows a person to keep their dignity. And so feedback should never, if you're giving feedback, it should never be a personal attack. And you just shouldn't. That's plain old bad, unacceptable behavior. If as a recipient of feedback, you're getting what you believe is an attack versus feedback, there are tricks, tools you can use. One is to step away, saying, I hear what you're saying, but when you tell me that I'm stupid, it makes it impossible for me to absorb the feedback. So let's put this off for another time. And maybe you can take a few minutes to think about what you really want to convey to me. And I can step away and not emotionally react to being told that I'm stupid.
So a couple of things. One, I love this question because I think it really gets to the heart of the matter of why both giving and receiving difficult feedback can be so fraught for people. First of all, and I promised Bob and Marla I wouldn't curse during this webinar, so I'm going to really try not to. But in recent years, there's been this concept of like radical candor, and you should just be honest with that employee, and you should come at them like with the not unvarnished truth. And, you know, that's how it sort of played out in circles. It was a book. I can't remember the author. To me, it has been so misapplied and misused. You know, without trust, compassion, and understanding, radical candor is just being a, I'm not going to say the word, but it starts with an A. Like you're just being a big fat jerk. And it will feel like an attack because it is an attack. I think part of what we're saying here about early and often feedback, sort of soliciting sort of from the person you're talking to, how they perceived something, engaging, creating a frequency that happens, you know, being deliberate about saying, I'm about to give you some feedback is now a good time for us to have this conversation. These sorts of things, they sound sort of simple, but they really do, you know, create an environment in which that is less likely to happen. I think I've seen it happen. I've heard from people sort of have this radical candor where that trust and sort of cadence of conversation has not been established, and it's terrible. And I completely agree with you, Martha. I mean, Marla, if that is sort of the experience, it's completely appropriate for an employee to say, you know, I just need a minute, or I need to step away, or I need to something. But I do think it's a thing out there right now.
Right. So a follow-up to that is a corollary is, not everybody has the same personality. Some people have thicker skin, some people have thinner skins. When you're giving feedback or preparing to give feedback to somebody who you believe is a more fragile individual, do you do anything differently? Again, you know, for those of you out there who are parents and you have more than one child, same parents, same household, same all of this. Kids are different. They need different things. Same thing with employees. You're part of a team. Some employees want direct feedback. Other employees will shut down and crumble. So the key is that, number one, you make sure the timing is right, and that you are watching and looking at the verbal cues you're getting from the person you're giving feedback to. So if Laura's giving me feedback and she sees me do this, well, hopefully that's a cue to her that I'm not taking it in. I'm protecting myself. I'm very defensive. On the other hand, she's giving me feedback and I'm there, well, wait, I'd like to understand this a little bit more, or, you know, I disagree with the feedback. I think blah versus this, A versus B. Then Laura knows that I'm engaged and we can have that conversation back and forth. If Laura knows that I'm a sensitive person and I take the feedback personally, don't spring it on me. Don't surprise me. Say, look, I'd like to meet with you you know, in 15 minutes, grab a cup of coffee, or I'm going to call you. Let's do a Zoom. Don't do it where you can't see the person because you want to be able to react to what you're seeing. I want to give you a little bit of feedback about the presentation you made or the contract negotiations that you're engaged in, or I've gotten some feedback from our client about X that you've done. I'd like to share that with you so that you give the fragile person who will be nervous immediately, and there's nothing you can do about that, but you give them a chance to prepare themselves as opposed to surprise them. Nobody likes surprises. So just like year-end feedback should never contain a surprise because you will have been giving feedback all along. When you're giving on-the-spot feedback, especially to fragile individuals, you want to give them a chance to, you know, gird their loins, if you will, to prepare for it.
So two things. One, we just got a great comment in the Q&A saying that I misconstrued the Radical Candor book. And so maybe I misspoke. I read it. I thought the book was fantastic. The whole notion in the book is part of what's in the Q&A, but it is about building that trust and setting the right context. Clarity is kindness. You know, I think what I was trying to say is that folks who hadn't read the book, hadn't digested the full concept of it, just took away the radical candor of it, meaning just be direct, just say, you know, kind of be transparent, be without sort of all of the pre-work that we're talking about here. And so I thought that was a great point in the comments. It is a book worth reading. It actually is completely aligned, I think, with what we're talking about here, understanding the employee, building that trust early and often, feedback. And so kind of what I meant is that somebody took sort of the very incorrect cliff notes, and I've seen it just really misapplied, like sometimes these things get.
Yeah, so we're still getting some more questions about, you know, how to give feedback to a more fragile individual. And asking questions, I think, is a very effective way. So, Laura, do you mind doing a little role playing with me where you're the fragile individual? I know I'm asking you to act because you're not a fragile person.
Not anymore, but I can put myself back in the time when I was.
So if I'm the person giving you the feedback and I say, Laura, how did you feel the presentation to the C-suite went? What's your point of view?
I mean, I thought it really went well. I mean, I thought I was well prepared. You and I, we went over the slides. I thought it went really, really well.
And I agree. I think you prepared beautifully. One thing to consider for the next time you do this is to really listen to the questions and not focus so much on getting through all of your slides, but really letting your audience guide you. When the CEO asked about X and you said, well, I'll get to that, I have found that it is more effective when I deal with the question right when it's asked, as opposed to putting the person off. Do you think you could adopt that approach?
Well, it was obvious that he hadn't done the pre-read. My goal was really to sort of move along and go through the whole presentation because I really wanted him to understand, you know, so where that part fit in. I found it, you know, really difficult to try to reshuffle.
And I think that's one thing that you need to consider working on. So if you know the three or four points that are really critical that you want to make, find a way to bridge back to those points while still addressing the question. Keep in mind, the presentation is never about the presenter. It's about the audience. Okay, we don't have to keep role-playing this. But again, for fragile people or people who will argue with you, I disagree. That's not, well, no, I don't want to do that because I want to do X instead. remind them that it's not all about them. And you can do it in a nice way, not necessarily a mean way, but say, you know, it's the CEO, for God's sakes. If he has a question, answer the question. Don't degrade him for asking you the question.
I actually think the role play does sort of lead into an interesting benefit, not just in terms of performance improvement or development for an employee you're talking to, but really just when you're assessing that impact of how that employee is receiving that feedback, you get a really good sense as to how that working relationship is going to go forward. I have certainly given feedback to people in the way that we've been talking about, and it is always someone else's fault. It is always the impossibility of the task. It is always, and you know, that might be true too, you know, parts of that might be true. But I've also, you know, given feedback to folks who say more, or give me a little bit more, or how did you go about doing this? Or how did, like, you know, you really do get a sense as to, okay, well, how are we going to work going forward on these areas? Because sort of the going in point of the employee, which can't be judged in a single conversation, though it really does inform how you think about what supports, investment, resources that employee potentially needs.
All right. And there's in the questions, still going back to fragility and not assuming that somebody is fragile. If somebody is crying while you're giving them feedback, I think that that's a pretty good indicator that they are fragile, at least at that moment, and this is not the right time to continue giving the feedback. And it's about allowing people to maintain their dignity, even if they're getting terrible feedback. One of the cardinal rules of terminating somebody's employment is to do it in a way where they get to walk out the door not happy, but with their dignity intact. So it's the same thing. If you see that somebody is not of a mindset to be able to take in the feedback, don't do it right then and there. And one of the questions is, what happens if you want to give somebody feedback and they refuse to go on camera?
That's a tough one.
That's a tough one. The best you can do is say, you know, this will be a much richer discussion if we can see each other. I'm going to ask you to turn on your camera. And if they say, no, I don't want to, or I can't, say, well, let's reschedule this at a time where you can go on the camera, so that you're setting the expectations that that's what you expect in a feedback session.
I think it also, I mean, I also might be, Marla, willing to go through the feedback even if they're not on camera. I think you have to know the employee, like they might find, you know, it would be more difficult. It's very difficult to assess impact if you can't see somebody and sort of read their body language. But I would not necessarily want to allow an employee to put off kind of, you know, the message and what I want to convey. So while not ideal, if they sort of are refusing, I might say something like, would it be helpful if we rescheduled this at a time you might be more comfortable coming on camera, or would you prefer I just provide, you know, the feedback now? We didn't get to it, but I actually think this is, or we didn't mention it before, but I actually think it's one of the most critically important things about a feedback session is saying that's actually what's happening. Starting the conversation by saying, I have some feedback. And almost a pause, don't just rush into it, you know, and I think it's helpful to set the context. I have some, you know, constructive feedback on something that just happened. Little pause so that it's not, you know, railroading into it. I'm amazed probably at how much feedback I probably missed because I didn't know that was what was actually happening. I thought we were having a conversation. I walked away and then just sort of forgot. Like, being deliberate and specific about it actually is quite helpful.
I think that's really important because we've been focusing in on the giving of feedback. We will talk about the getting feedback, but a lot of times people don't. They say common sense isn't common. Well, a lot of people don't realize they're getting feedback when they're getting feedback.
Myself included, when I've got.
That's why I think it's critical to lay it's the right place, it's the right time, and you're laying the right foundation for it. One of the questions.
Go ahead. No, I was going to say, we just got a really good question about, how you manage an employee who comes back with excuses. And it has been my experience that you cannot judge by a single interaction with that employee. I think the example that the participant said was, my child was up all night. Well, that might be the case. And so that is not sort of the interaction that you judge things by. But over a longer term, you start to realize folks who take that feedback really do see it as a gift. They might not be happy about receiving it at first, but there maybe are follow-ups and there's continued conversation about how to actually do some development. And there are some people where it is never their fault. They're under-resourced. They've got too much on their plate. They have been doing the job of three people. And frankly, sometimes that's when it starts to look like, what's the exit plan? This is not somebody I'm going to put resource time into developing so you can get there. This is an employee who I'm going to put, deadlines and metrics around. And so we can start to have a different kind of feedback conversation, which is, we've talked about these things haven't happened, and you're going to hear the same excuses. And then it really helps clarify, because frankly, one of the things I've done is taken the feedback and attempt to develop too far with somebody where this might not be the right job. It might not be the right organization for them. And so while I wouldn't take a single instance like that, the continued sort of inability to either listen or integrate the feedback starts to tell you something that you need to pivot from some of the things we're talking about here to much more, frankly, objective standards to discuss with that employee.
And for people who fight the feedback, I see this in two different ways. If you're giving feedback that you have observed, gets back to actually one of the very first things you said, Laura, make sure that the expectations are aligned. So if I'm telling you, you weren't as responsive as our client needed you to be. And that's from what I have observed. That's one thing. If I'm telling it to you because the client's complaining, Laura never answers her phone. It goes into, the black hole when I send her an email. I don't know when I'm going to hear back from her. Well, when I'm talking to you, it's still about responsiveness. But the first case I'm able to say, what I've seen, Laura, is that you're not responding to clients in a timely fashion. If you fight me back on that, what we do is then we talk about what the expectation of timeliness is. So I'm not devolving into an argument about I was responding timely. Let's not talk about your definition versus mine. Let's set what the expectation is going forward. On the other hand, if I'm giving you feedback and from somebody else, I might not know that you've been responding back to them all the time, and this one time you couldn't. So that goes back to still setting a level playing field. You need to give the person who's arguing against the feedback time to explain the facts, not the feeling, but the facts. And if there is an essential disagreement on the facts, then you need to go deeper in how you're giving the feedback and how you're figuring out what the facts are. If there isn't a disagreement on the facts, you can keep arguing with me, Laura. That's not going to change the fact that the clients don't trust you. And I don't see a long-term career opportunity for you if your clients don't want to work with you. So let's talk about what you can do to repair the relationship and demonstrate that you are the right person for them to be working with. And so again, you're becoming a team to try to work with problem solving.
I couldn't agree with that more. And when I said sort of metrics and sort of requirements, what you just did a great job of, Marla, is really digging into how you would actually do that, right? It's not around, it is saying, let's make sure we have a shared understanding about what an appropriate response time is. Let's make sure that we are, you know, that is clear and understood, because the next conversation, either you've met those expectations and things seem to be improving, or you haven't. And it's a very different conversation at that point. And at some point, since we're talking about difficult feedback here, it does shift from how can I help? How can I resource? How can we partner? To this might not be the right place, and this might not be the right job. And as a manager, especially every manager is a busy manager, we all have day jobs and we're managers, right? And so figuring out, you know, sort of when you've hit that point, and because I think it is important, you know, to go in sort of with an open mind, a plan, a sort of a partnership model. There is a pivot at some point where, you know, it's not going to be good for either in the long term, if you've been clear and those expectations with objective criteria that you've agreed on, and those expectations are not being met.
Right. So we've got a whole host of really great questions that I want us to get to.
Good ones. I know.
One is around what really is constructive feedback? How do you give constructive feedback? My definition of constructive feedback is something that is specific enough so that the person can take action to address it. So in order for feedback to be, if I say, let's do positive feedback. If I say to you, Laura, that was a great presentation, or you're doing a fabulous job, you feel warm and fuzzy, but that's actually completely valueless because you don't know why. It's the same thing with constructive feedback. You know, you're not building a good rapport with the client base. All right, that's the first sentence. Now you need to go into specifics as to what's not happening or what is happening that is that supports that very first sentence.
So I'll say, and I'll go back to something I said earlier about context setting, not just about saying I'm going to give you the feedback, but giving the larger context in which the feedback is relevant. So saying you're not connecting with clients or something, sometimes I find it helpful to say critical to success in this organization is building this level of trust. And sort of this is why it happens. I'm seeing in this instance that connection's not happening. So it's not like I'm just saying it you. I'm connecting the thing that I'm seeing and giving constructive feedback into like a very sort of tangible reason it's important that area improves. I find it helpful.
And as far as establishing a culture of feedback, not all of us work in places where people give or get feedback. If you want to establish a culture of feedback, saying we really need to give each other feedback is of no value, I think. This is one of those things you need to walk the talk. So if I'm your employee, Laura, and you just don't give me feedback, I need to feel comfortable saying, you know something, I think things are going really well, but I believe in continuous improvement and none of us is perfect. Laura, what can I be doing better to achieve X? Or what can I do to make it easier for you to do Y? Or if I want to get more exposure to so-and-so, how do you suggest I do it? Whatever, ask for a specific piece of feedback.
You want me to give you
going into your office and saying, give me feedback, Laura, if you're not a feedback giver, is not going to garner feedback for me.
So do you want that feedback now, Marla, or should we
develop? I'd love feedback. Thank you very much.
So I think we're actually flowing in naturally into the next piece of this conversation, which is, you know, receiving feedback. And I'm just going to reflect for a moment on so as an attorney, we are notoriously terrible at giving feedback. I just don't.
And worse at getting it.
Right. And worse at getting it because we are technicians and we have learned specific things. we're talented in the areas, you know, sort of that we're talented in. And sometimes we have a tendency to overemphasize the things that we're good at, and we've been, you know, those technical things. I will go, and so literally probably for the first 10 or 15 years of my career, feedback was things like, great job, keep going. Like, I mean, literally, let's talk about now what's going to happen next. I mean, so glossed over the exactly the type of things. And so I recall maybe it was 5 or 6 years ago, as I was kind of I realized, okay, next career step, probably a good idea to like do a 360, horrified by what might come back in terms of that feedback. And what was so interesting, and I think really goes to how to solicit feedback, how to think about being sort of your own advocate for your own development. The constructive criticism that was included in that 360 was horrifying, because none of it was surprising to me. I was just horrified that other people had noticed. I already knew the areas I was not strong. I knew. I was like, oh no, other people realize too. And now I have to do something about it. And so kind of, and understanding that that perception really matters, right? And that, and now I've done lots of 360 conversations with people who then say, but that's not true, but that's not true. I said, that's the perception. And it does matter. So if it's not true, let's work on how that perception can be shifted.
And if you're getting difficult feedback and you disagree with the feedback, I'm sure that that would never happen to anybody here, but there is a way of, again, it's level setting. So if you're giving me feedback about whatever, and I disagree, what's not productive is if I say, well, I don't agree with that, because now I've set us up that we are foes. A tactic, a trick is, I hear what you're saying, Laura, and what I think I've just heard is blah, blah, blah. Is that what you meant? Yes. Okay. Can I give you a couple of other pieces of information just to put into the mix? Because that might affect what I should do in responding to the feedback. And so now I, as a recipient of feedback, am now molding the mind of my boss or who's ever giving me the feedback that there's some more information that maybe you don't have. Let me share that with you. And then let's talk about how that affects the feedback and what I should do to address the feedback. So it's not arguing that screw you, it's a piece of crap feedback that I'm not going to listen to. It's, I hear what you're saying. I want to share a little more information. Then let's talk about what's next.
I definitely think screw you and your feedback isn't a great response to your manager.
Or to anybody. I agree with that.
So two things I'll say about getting valuable feedback from somebody who isn't otherwise going to provide it. And I've actually had this experience where I've got no feedback. It's very easy to say, well, my manager just doesn't give feedback. I've had an incredible experience of learning how to solicit it in two specific ways, I think, and gotten incredibly rich and valuable feedback from the same person who I said, well, again, you just can't give feedback. One is what you said, Marla, which is to come and prepared to ask specific questions, saying, you know, how are things going with me? Like, not helpful. It's just not helpful. And I think something we were actually just talking about a little bit earlier today in one of my meetings that we do here, and I know folks do other places, you don't need to use these words, but the concept is, you know, what should I start doing? You know, what should I stop doing? What should I continue doing in a certain way? Like, those specific questions should be saying, in this area, what can I be doing to be more effective? Am I, you know, are you seeing things that are sort of not going the way in this particular, you should have examples, that meeting that you were in, what, how did you think this went? And, you know, and what went well, sort of that. So it's, you're soliciting not just how can I improve? It's sort of you create a more holistic. And I have also found that when you do that with somebody who isn't naturally inclined to provide the feedback, you're starting that cadence of kind of a low stress, low pressure conversation that gets richer and richer and easier and easier. And suddenly this person that you were sure was a horrible manager because they couldn't give feedback is suddenly giving you some really great feedback.
Right. One thing I do want to mention, and that's it's giving us a little zig and zag in our conversation, is that not all cultures give and get feedback in exactly the same way. And so for those of you who have team members who are not from the States, where we all learn that you start with the positive, then you give the constructive, then you end with the positive, that doesn't work in all cultures. There are certain cultures that if you start with the positive, it's a positive session and they never ever hear or take seriously the constructive feedback. I've worked a lot with German companies, and I have learned that in giving feedback to people who have only worked in Germany, they're used to getting the feedback very directly right up front. So you don't do the sandwich approach. And you need to understand that, because if you're getting feedback from somebody who culturally has learned to give only direct feedback, you need to realize that they're not attacking you because they don't do the little sandwich approach. They walk into your office and they say, "Laura, I really just don't think that that went very well at all."
Oh, at this okay. point in my career, I could take that.
There was, yeah, but you know, that's when you engage in the conversation. Okay, well, what specifically didn't go so well? And so just know that there are cultural norms where feedback in the way that you would normally do it in the States may not work.
Forget, you know, folks outside the States. There's people, you know, there's just the diversity in terms of how folks are, you know, provide that feedback, period. You might find that, you know, that sort of way of soliciting a little bit more if somebody's not going with that sandwich approach to get kind of more of what you need from that interaction, you know, can happen anywhere, anytime, I think. There's a question here, again, sort of just about what if they don't want to hear your side, their mind's made up. I think your answer before, Marla, around just, you know, that being one data point and sort of like, maybe it's not the best time to be giving it. Is there another time? And, you know, how you kind of come to the conclusion as to whether or not this is somebody who's going to benefit from the feedback or is just going to continue to shut down, not listen, and not perform in the job the way they need to.
And in response to one of the questions, it's really dangerous to assume that somebody who you don't respect or admire feedback is worthless. So you don't have to listen to it. There is always a nugget of truth. And maybe we could actually go to the next slide for a brief period of time. There's always a nugget of truth in feedback. And you need to find it, whether you agree with it or not, because perception is reality. And so even if I think Laura is a horse's ass, quite honestly, if she's giving me a piece of feedback, I should listen, because nowhere is it written that she's the only one that has this opinion. She may be the only one who articulates it to me. So you need to, it's like approaching things with noble intent. Assume that the person giving you feedback is not doing it to be mean or harmful. Their method of delivery may not be effective, but assume noble intent and then pattern your behavior on noble intent. You know, rising waters lift all ships. If you take what is otherwise a personal attack or feedback that you really disagree with, and you respond in a respectful, curious, let's try to get to a productive next step type of way, it pulls the next person up with you. And if you can't, because they're just an abusive individual, You don't ever have to take the abuse. You know, nobody's chained you to the desk. You can always say, you know, I'm not going to take this type of abuse from you. I'm hanging up on you now. Click. And then you follow up with an email saying, I know you had some important pieces of information for me and I want to get that. I just don't want to be called stupid and worthless in getting it. So it takes two to be in an abusive relationship. You can walk away from it. You don't have to take it. And at the end of the day, you want to give feedback in the same way that you want to get feedback. And even when you've been through a very difficult, as a recipient of a very difficult situation on getting the feedback, think how that's going to change the way you give feedback in the future, because you don't want to do to others what has just been done to you. So you learn from other people's mistakes. There are negative mentors out there. Oh my God, I'm never going to do that because I've seen what the result is. Take advantage of it.
I agree. There's an interesting question in the Q&A, which is, what is feedback? And I'll just say what I...
And maybe we can take down the slides. So,
yeah. I consider feedback to be pieces of information, observations that are relevant to their role and their ability to be effective in their role. And sometimes, depending on the employee, prepare for the next role. So feedback is intended to have a specific consequence or outcome. So that is how I think about it. It is such an overused term. I completely agree, but I think about it in concrete ways. Otherwise, I'm just having a conversation with my employee about a project or something they've worked on. I think of this type of feedback as being tied directly to an outcome I expect to receive, I expect to see, or something I expect to change, et cetera, et cetera. It's specific.
I have nothing to add to that because I think you...
Thank you for that feedback. That
perfectly. Can we go back to slide number 7? Because somebody wants to see the tips and approaches for giving feedback. So everybody knows, these slides will be available on the Barker Gilmore site in 3 weeks from now. Tips and approaches for giving feedback. It goes back to what I said earlier, give it the way you want to receive it. And feedback too late is bad feedback. I think we've all worked with somebody who has been at the company for 15 years and never really progresses and isn't doing the best job possible. And nobody's given that poor person feedback. So they never changed because they haven't known that they have to change to meet expectations. And then after 15 years, they're fired. So you've just robbed somebody of 15 years of an opportunity to improve and find a good job and do better at the job that they do have. So timely feedback is the most important thing you can give an employee, especially when you want them to improve. And it has to be understandable and specific.
So there's two quick things that I'll add that aren't in these bullet points, but one is, again, assessing for impact, looking at how that employee is responding, look at how they are taking in that feedback. The other piece, which I think isn't here for multiple reasons, but, you know, I just think it's critical for you to write down your impressions after you've had this conversation. How did the conversation go? What was the response? You know, it's just something, a sentence or two or a couple bullet points on how that feedback went, how the employee responded, and sort of, like, you know, capture sort of your perception of the impact on that employee.
Completely agree. Could we go to slide 9 for a moment, please? because there's something that I just want us to keep in mind, and that is goes to the question of what is feedback. Feedback isn't advice. You may be giving advice as part of the teaming with the person that you're giving feedback to. And there's ways of couching the feedback in a way that sounds like you're advising versus bossing, but it's not the same thing. And nobody takes every piece of feedback they've ever gotten. We consider the source, we consider the environment, we consider whether or not they had their facts right. These are all things to keep in mind when you're giving feedback.
And I think the other question, there was a question about receiving feedback. In addition to sort of helping if somebody is not great at giving it, helping to, ask specific questions, et cetera, it's also helpful to tell the person giving you feedback, if you feel comfortable doing it, how you like to receive feedback. I mean, Marla, I remember when we first met, I said, I just need you to be completely direct. Do not try to soften it. Do not try to sort of like, if I won't understand what you're trying to say to me, I need you to just say it. And it really just got our feedback loop going, pretty quickly. So if you're aware of how you best receive feedback, that's really helpful to provide to the person you're hoping to get feedback from.
All right, let's go to slide 8, because that goes directly to that. It's important to know yourself and how you receive feedback. So I'm going to give you before I give you a real life example, we're at 2:00. And I know that some people have blocked off only this 1 hour. Again, the slides will be available for you and the playback will be available. Laura and I are going to stick around for another 5 or 10 minutes so we can get through some of these questions that you have. So if you want to stick with us, wonderful. We're glad to have you. And if you have to drop off, you can listen to the remainder of our session later on at a time that is convenient to you. So now I interrupted myself and I was going to share. Know thyself, to thine own self be true. Know that yourself. It was Monday morning. Every Monday morning, I met with the CEO and gave him a rundown of what the most important things were last week that happened and what should be on his radar screen for this week. And so I walk in Monday morning, totally prepared for my usual conversation with him. And he says, I just want to let you know that I am initiating a general counsel search and you're not going to be a candidate. Well, so I was gobsmacked, obviously, but I know myself and I know that I have a wicked temper and I and my husband can attest to that. Trust me. And I knew that my immediate reaction to him was, I would do all the swearing that Laura said that she wasn't going to do. String of words, you can imagine, I was about to launch myself over the desk, grab his throat, and say, you miserable such and such and such and such and such. You know how it hell it's been to work for you, you age. But I didn't. I said, well, this is coming from left field. I need to digest this. I'm going to go back to my office. And when can we talk this afternoon? Because I had to absent myself because I would have come after him with a blowtorch otherwise. And that I was never going to change his mind. It's not just going to say, just kidding. I made a mistake. I want you to stay on as my general counsel. So I needed to control myself, right? So you need to know yourself. And if you're not in the mindset to take the feedback right then and there, you just tell them, look, I need to digest this. Let's set up another time to talk about it.
And the flip side of that, which I asked you sort of when you told me that story, Marla, was how could that have been done better? It's never easy to give a notification. It is never easy. I say all the time, if you find it easy to give a notification, you don't care, you shouldn't be managing people. Yeah. And it's never easy. So what would have been a better way in that context, the ultimate constructive, you know?
Well, the better way would have been, and in my heart, this goes back to also something you said, Laura, in my heart of hearts, I knew our relationship wasn't good. I wasn't happy with him. He wasn't happy with me. I mean, I was shocked, not by the message, but the way he delivered the message. What would have been better would have been all along him saying, you know, you're doing X, I really would rather you do Y, or I'm not finding Z very helpful. But if he wasn't going to do that, the way to do to sit down and say, you know, I'm about to have a very difficult conversation with you. And it has, I think that you're a terrific person, but I don't think you're the right person to be my general counsel for the following reasons. As opposed to, you know, don't let the door hit you on the backside on the way out, which is basically the way he delivered it. So there are, sometimes you have to fire people, and sometimes you have to fire people right on the spot, like when they're doing something that is so egregious. And that's when you pull them aside. You never do it in front of other people, right? You give positive feedback in front of other people, because that is a great motivating force, not only for the person receiving the feedback, but the listeners. Constructive or negative feedback has to be done in private.
I mean, that's sort of obvious, but yes, I agree. The positive feedback helps other folks understand behavior they should be modeling. So it doesn't just help give feedback to the person you're speaking to. It helps folks around understand kind of what good looks like. Negative, never, ever, ever. I mean, I thought that went unsaid, but I've seen it happen. So I should say it maybe doesn't go unsaid. Constructive feedback that is difficult is a one-on-one situation.
Let's go to the 10th slide, please, because these are some best demonstrated practices. And this is just a really quick summary of what we've talked about already. Wanting to highlight just the final point on here, and that follow through and follow up is critical. Feedback is not a one and done. So, you know, Laura, you really did a great job on Project X. But I think there's room for improvements in how you keep your peers updated on how Project X or anything you're working on could be affecting them. Let's talk about specific things you could do going forward. And we have a nice conversation and Laura walks out of my office and I never raise it again. I'm gonna wanna be monitoring. Is she getting better at it and giving positive reinforcement if she is, or if she's not getting better at it because she wasn't listening to me? I want to be able to follow up and say, remember the conversation we had about Project X? I see you're doing Project Y and you're still not letting your peers know what they need to know on this. Let's talk about why not. Why not?
The one quick thing I'll add, I know we're coming to the end of time. You've said something, Marla, to me a couple of times over the time we've worked together in the context of this webinar, which is, you know, continuing to create an environment in which this development can really grow and flourish is by not just the continuous sort of follow through and follow up, it's by continuing to provide information. I think you said, providing the nice to know, not just the need to know, you know, that context setting for the employee, that sort of more than just their specific thing, but why and how, what's changing, what, like, so they can kind of connect the development to the job they're doing and the organization that they're working at. I actually think is a great point that you've made a few times and is, I've found it helpful. I find it helpful also in soliciting feedback sometimes to ask why. Tell me why you think this is important or how it fits in. Is just helpful.
Let's take down the slides, and I'd like to end in the last minute. Laura, if there's only one or two things that our audience takes away from our conversation today, what would that be?
First of all, giving difficult feedback is difficult. And an inclination, especially if you want to do it right, is that, you know, it, which is not to do it, right? Is to sort of just let it pass, at least for me. And so it's a muscle that you have to build. It gets easier. So if you invest the time and the effort in doing it sort of early and often and preparing for it, it gets easier and easier and easier. The other piece I just think is assessing the impact that it's having on the employee. It's going to tell you how this is going to go. And it's going to tell you how much time you should invest in development and how much time you should invest potentially in exit strategy. And that's important. It's not the prettiest thing to say, but it's a fact. This is not an endless cycle of development, unless you're, it is a two-way street.
And the thing, one thing that I will add on getting difficult feedback is there's always a nugget of truth. And so it could be when you're home shaving or putting on your eye makeup or driving to pick up the kids at a game. Think about, replay in your mind what was said and what might be actually right about the feedback and what can you do about it, as opposed to that person's an idiot and I'm not going to follow through.
Great words of wisdom, Marla and Laura. Thanks so much for joining us today and sharing your words of wisdom and personal experiences. I know I took a lot of notes during the session today, as we can always improve in this area. For attendees today who are looking to develop their skills and their work on their management leadership muscles and what have you, reach out to Marla or myself. Happy to discuss how we can be of assistance, or obviously if there's any needs for talent on your team. We will be sending a short survey, so kind of a quick 1 minute survey, just to quickly give us some feedback from today. Those are very much appreciated.
Want feedback on our feedback session.
Right. and thank you all for attending. We really appreciate and for being such an engaged.
Yes.
Thank you.
So thanks again. And we look forward to having you join us here in the future at another GC Advantage webinar. Thanks so much, everyone.
Thank you, Laura.